Okay, I do want to welcome and thank Dr. Benny, of course, who gives a shiur every Sunday, Be'ivrit, I'll say for Tehillim. And it's really a pleasure always to have Dr. Benny. Is a man of many, many talents, as you know, grew up in Switzerland, has been living in Israel many years, of course, is a medical doctor. All this Torah learning is, I don't want to say it's on the side, it's in addition to his medical work and his work in many areas. He publishes many Svarim. For each one of his children's, for a simcha, he will publish a book, always creative and original. And he said to give the shir, as you heard, in memory of his father. So it's Dr. Benny, Bakasha, it's all yours.
Erev Tov, good evening. Machatima Tova to all. I wish first to thank Rabbi Jay and Ilana for your unbelievable project that you are doing on Limud Torah. We met some more than 30 years ago, much more, in Toronto when you were teaching in your shul, in schools, and to see how things developed over the years, over the decades, is really amazing. And shekoyach to you and Ilana and all the participants. Great pleasure. On top of the regular Tehillim shiur, I really wanted to give a special shiur because Sefer Yonah is always relevant. 2 years ago, I gave a shiur, had the honor to give a shiur in Torah in Motion, a class on Makore, a class, that is the program 2 years ago, and everything is Kedar Kacha online. But what I wanted to highlight now, specifically on the shiur on the Sefer Yonah, has a lot to do with our situation in Chavot Bazel, this terrible war. And there's the relationship to other nations. What is the vision? What's the hope? What's the reality? And what's our job? How to change that? So it's in memory of the yahrzeit of my father. And when I walked down to the Kotel this year on Shvi'i, the 7th of October, the radio had all the programs on October 7th. And I had my memory to say Kaddish at the Kotel. And my father's life and our life, I think, or my father's generation's life and our life and the life of the future generation comes all together in a very, very interesting, special mixture. I'm not as good to put it in words, but allow me to try it. My father was born in Krakow, and at the age of 13, his mother gave him the tefillin of his father, who passed away a year before from pneumonia. And he was the oldest brother, the oldest child of three. None of them survived. And he came. What is that? And when he came to Auschwitz, he said he is 1 year older. That is when he came to the Konzentrationslager. He was, as you can see from here, he was arrested in March 42. And he came here and said he is born 26 because they needed people who work. At the age of, when he was actually born 27, but he said, I'm a year older because that was the only way to survive. He realized right away, work, survival, not working, death. And he said he is a Schlosser, a locksman. You can see it here. It says in German, those who read. And he came there as a profession, a locksman. When he was liberated in Buchenwald, it was actually in April, but the documentation was from May. He was his age, the real age, not 27, because he said at that point in time, it was worthwhile to be young to benefit, to survive. His body weight was 27 kilograms at the age of less than 17. And he made afterwards incredible efforts to build up a family based on strong belief. You find on my website on the front, on the homepage, the movie I had the schut to make on him, with him, on the tefillin. And people who were with him together, dozens of people had tefillin in Auschwitz every day. And I met people afterwards, many people who said without the tefillin, their life would have been totally meaningless. They had one desire, to get up in the morning and to go to the washroom there, lehaniach tefillin, 30 seconds, 1 minute. That was, can we do it or not? Is life meaningful or not? The rest of the day was not worthy. And he built a sukkah in Auschwitz of a few, whatever he could do, branches that he could find. And he took his bread and split it with two of his best friends and gave them more than a kezayit, levarech basukkah, leishev basukkah. And that was an expression of his unbelievable desire to survive, to build up a family, what he did. And I think these days, when we see the news and the terrible suffering of many, many soldiers, of their widows and the orphans and the mefunim, displaced people, and kol am Yisrael, I think his strength walking down on October 7th to the Kaddish for my father is a very interesting mixture, inspires me on every day, and hopefully his inspiration will inspire you and other people as well. It's dedicated for the Chayalim, for Am Yisrael, and we have our Tfilot, which I always read here. Let's now talk about Yonah. His name was Avraham Yonah, so I thought it's very appropriate to talk about Yonah. And I will start with a question. Chachamim say in the Gemara, B'yom Kippur b'mincha maftirim b'Yonah. From Mincha Yom Kippur, the Haftarah is the book of Yonah. Why? Yonah, Yom Kippur has so many powerful, strong messages. What's the strong message? So there were different authors, different explanations for that. And one of them is Avudraham, you cannot escape. Every person has his role, has his job, and you cannot run away from your job. A strong message. He quotes a pasuk, of course, Misefer Tehilim, that nobody can escape his job and everybody should be aware, Yom Kippur, what is his job? What's your role? What's your mission? That's a point. For sure, a good point. I miss something when I talk about Yonah. Is that, everybody has a job? I can take, I think, every chapter in Treyasar, in I don't know where, to find messages. There is something more unique, I believe. The Mishnah says on every Ta'anit, on every fast day, the oldest person from the eldest comes to, and talks to the congregation and makes a message from Sefer Yonah. Vayar Elohim et sakam ve'et ta'anitam. God saw their deeds and they had turned from their evil way. That is what it says in Yonah. And right afterwards, the Mishnah says, but remember what happened in Yonah. It says in the other prophet, Kir'u levavchem ve'al bigdechem, and rend your hearts and not your garments and return to the Lord. Why Yoel? There is something very special in the Mishnah. And the more I learn Chazal, I read their brilliance that a message of Sefer Yonah has his counterpart in Sefer Yoel. I will explain it and hope to give a very deep message on the essence of Sefer Yonah based on this analogy in the Mishnah. So the question is, what's the big message? Why did he run away? And why is that an important message? I just got a WhatsApp from a student of mine who is now in Gaza, and he says, I'm entering now Gaza and I'm preparing Yom Kippur for my group in Gaza, and I'm reading your book. We learned that some 20 years ago on Sefer Yonah. So I had the honor to teach it, and now I have the big, big zchut that in Gaza, a chayal is learning that as a shiur for Yom Kippur. Here comes an important question. Those who read Hebrew, I published a paper some 20 years ago on the topic, and enjoy to learn every year something new. Of course, with internet and AI, there are many fascinating things. And I want to look at Sefer Yonah from two different angles. One is, what do we read in the book? And might be, we have an approach. That's the summary of the book, which I send you as a handout. It's the entire book. We read Sefer Yonah as the book of Yonah. That's it. There's nothing left and nothing right to it. That is one approach, and I think we need to find the message by reading these four chapters. But there is also a context. Not only a context in the book of 12, in the book of the Bible, what do we know about Yonah from other books? There are many, many hints in the story of Yonah, brilliant allusions to other texts in the Bible from Sefer Yonah, which enlightened the understanding of Sefer Yonah. But there is also a context, a historical context. And I want to elaborate this year in particular, what can we learn about Nineveh? Nineveh was the big city. Ir Gdola Elohim. Gdola Elohim can say a huge city like Shalhevetia, Harere El, huge. You say in Hebrew, oh God, it's really got big, but you do not necessarily talk about God. But it can also mean a very meaningful city for God. And we'll talk about that later. What is the context? Nineveh was the city of Assyria, which destroyed the Jewish people. Tried to destroy. They were not successful, but they tried. And exactly, or more or less exactly, 40 years after Yonah, Nineveh was destroyed by Babel. Wow. Now we see, od 40 yom, v'Nineveh nehefachet, in another 40 yom, Nineveh will be destroyed. Yom can mean in the Bible, can mean in the Bible a day, and it can mean a year, because the spies, they were 40 days, there were 40 years in the 40 days in Eretz Yisrael, and for every day they were punished by 1 year. Ot Arba'im Yom has a very interesting context if you look at it in the biblical history. So that is the book. That's the entire Sefer Tehillim. Sorry, I don't know what is wrong with my mouse.
Benny, can you make the picture a little bigger also, if you don't mind?
Anyway, sure. I'll do it in a moment, but I have an animation effect here. That's the book of the four chapters. And I added colors to this book. Is somebody playing with my, is somebody entered my computer, my system? I don't have control over my PowerPoint. So I added a lot of explanations and colors, which I want to share with you now. On this handout, it is everything in one book. Of course, impossible to cover in one shiur all the details, but I want to show you the main issue, the main message of the beautiful structure. I talk about the formal structure of the book first. We have four chapters, when chapter one and two, and that's a mistake. Chapter one, I have it, I fixed it somewhere else. My apologies. Chapter one and two in the handouts, it's fixed. My apologies. Is the first mission. And he ran away instead to Nineveh, to Tarshish. Why? We don't know. The reader of Yonah runs away with Yonah. We will only know at the end a little bit what's wrong. Why did he run away? Why he escaped? In the first mission, interestingly enough, he wanted to go to Tarshish, but the story well known to everybody, he was thrown to the sea and something happened to my, I apologize. You have on your handout here a certain symbol. Uh-oh, that's my nightmare. That something is not working well with the computer. Is anybody in my, anybody entered my computer?
I'm checking now.
Could you check? Somebody's making marks here and is having control. The place where Nineveh was had a very special geography. And I come right away to the end. This symbol you will find on your handout. This symbol. That is a fish, and inside it's like a home and it has the shape of a fish. Why? Because Nineveh, and that's from a German scholar who worked in the on the symbols of Babylonic text in 1970. I found the book and looked at it very, very carefully with great interest. And you find here the symbol of the city Nineveh is a fish, because it is surrounded by huge rivers, which are both important economically, a fish market, and very important strategically. And the river goes like that, around like a 270 degree, almost around, of the very old city. I will show you afterwards a map. And the old city is surrounded very well, so it's easy to protect it strategically. Now Yonah tries to escape from Nineveh, which is the home where it's possible to survive economically and military strategically, because you have a river and fish market. And he runs away. The symbol of Nineveh is a home with the fish. And Yonah ran away and is swallowed by a fish, which is now his home for 3 days. I don't know if we should call that a sense of humor of Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I think we have quite an interesting example that archaeology, the context of very interesting archaeological findings, brings amazing insight. Yonah knew exactly that the place of Nineveh is the place of the fish. What is the Hebrew meaning of Nineveh? Nun is a fish, the Yoshua bin Nun is fish, means fish, and Neveh is a place where you live, Neveh Kochecha, Neveh Daniel. His place to survive, escaping from Nineveh, was a fish. And what's the first fay he says, the first word he says, after 3 days in the fish, Vayit Palel, Yonah el Hashem Elokav, Mim'ei Hadaga, Vayomer, Karati Mitzarali El Hashem. You should go to Nineveh and call there declare your Nevuah. So he goes away there, he escapes from Nineveh, is brought back by the fish, and that is the first part of the mission, 1 and 2. And now we have the second part of the mission, which is exactly parallel. In number 3, we know what happened. Yes, he came to Nineveh and finally said, Od 40 yom v'Nineveh nehefachet. In another 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And once he says that, he goes out and leaves the place and watches outside what's going to happen in Nineveh. So in the same token that number 2, Chapter 2 is a reflection of chapter 1. Chapter 4 is a reflection of chapter 3. And of course, chapter 1 and 3 are very, very parallel. And if you have time, I will not elaborate everything. It will take much more time. It's very text-oriented. And you have here the words, which are very, you have here the analogies of chapter 1 and 3, of chapter 1 and 2, and chapter 3 and 4, and it is a masterpiece of wonderful, wonderful analogies. Why don't we understand from the beginning why he escaped? We leave the tension to the end. Do we identify with Yonah when we read it? Do we identify with Nineveh, the people in Nineveh? Do we identify with the message of Hashem? There are many special players in Sefer Yonah, and each of them has a special role. What I would like to do now, to move forward, to touch a little bit the story of Sefer Yonah. Mm-hmm. The main message is, somebody is in my computer. I see it here. So Susan, if you can protect me, because I cannot move with my computer.
Okay, I don't see anybody in your computer. That's the thing.
Somebody's making signs next to my computer. I see the signs here.
Susan, somewhere there's a feature called annotating, and someone needs to turn that off.
Okay, I will turn that. I just don't see it, but I will turn it off.
I see it right above my microphone on the bottom left corner.
Ah, got okay. It. Okay.
So that is the superstructure of the book. And there are amazing issues that we can learn from the overview. What I would like to do now, to say a few comments on each chapter. I will not cover everything that you see here in the paper. Everything is there. We have other lectures online. I would like to give a taste of the beauty of the art of the story and the meaning of the story. One of the issues you can see beautifully in Sefer Yonah, I tried to highlight it with blue, white on blue, Hashem, and white on red, Elohim. And it works perfectly. The biblical criticism really tried to take advantage from these changes to prove that there are two layers in the Tanakh, the Elohistic E and the J, which we do not pronounce, and to show that there are two sources, they come together. Excellent observation. Total failure of their explanation of it. You have here wonderful aspects that the Sefer Yonah knew exactly when to say Hashem, exactly when to say Elohim, Hashem Elokav, and Hashem Elohim. It is sharp, the distinction. So the observation is great, biblical scholars of the criticism. The conclusion is a failure to recognize the message. Rahmanut Alehim, how much energy they put into it, and they failed to see the point. Let's now take a brief look on chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. We have a lot to discuss afterwards. Chapter 1 is built as a very clear chiasm. Chiasm is the Greek word like that, which is A, B, and afterwards C, B, and A again, or B asterisk, A asterisk. And you have here a wonderful structure, which I summarized here like that. That's the chiasm. In the middle is the declaration of Yonah, I'm Ivri, and I respect God. So that is the main message. You run away from your shlichut, from your mission, and whatever happens on the sea, and with the storm, and with the goralot, at the end, you will not run away. So Abu Abraham has a point. Your identity, you cannot run away from that. That's certainly a message of chapter 1, one of the messages. And before and afterwards, there are a lot of expressions which are repeated, and you find it here. That is what I try to show here. We will not read it, but if you read the text, you will recognize it on your own. That was recognized some 100 years ago. And here we have a fascinating technique. Yes, Rabbi Jay, it needs to be bigger. I want to show you now here a marvelous hint. He needed to go to Nineveh. Kum lech el Nineveh ha'ir ha'gdula, ukra aleha ki al taratam lefanai. Go, get up, go to Nineveh, the big city, and call there whatever I will tell you to call. And he gets up and he runs away. When he is on the sea and there is a storm and he went to sleep, everybody calls to Elohim Shelo. Everybody has a religion, has his belief system. Every ish le Elokav, as the Rav Chovel, the captain, comes to him and says, why do you sleep? Everybody works and is fighting to survive for all of us. Come, get up and call to your God. How interesting. The same wording of Hashem, kum, ukra, here, for his mission to Nineveh, is repeated by the captain of the of the, of the boat of the ship that he should call to his God. The Rav Chovel is not a shaliach and a navi of Hashem. If it says Rav Chovel, that doesn't mean he's a Rav. He's just a captain, right? But he says exactly what God told him. He's quoting him. Why is that? What a message. If you think that you can run away, Yonah, from God's order, hum kra, at the end, somebody else will tell you that. But the Rav HaChovel had no clue. When he said, when these words came out of his mouth, he had no clue how they will, which effect they have on Yonah's ears and his heart. Kum kra is the order for Yonah, and it will follow him even if he goes away to Tarshish. What a beautiful insight. And now I want you to see just the structure of the way to tell the story. And I will look only on the malachim, the seamen here. Vayir'u ha-malachim. They were afraid. Why does it say ha-malachim? Because they saw how dangerous it is. And as per their profession, malachim, the seamen, they were very nervous that the boat will break down. Afterwards, they realized there is much more into it. When Yonah was identified and he told them that he is running away from Hashem, it says again, Vayir'u. But now somebody is doing this sign here. Can you see the blue sign? That's the reason why it doesn't work. Vayir'u ha'anashim yir'a gdola. They feared very, very much. Is Yudit Krapp here? I just saw the name Yudit Krapp might be in your computer. Oh, here we go. Vayir'u ha'anashim yir'a gdola. Again, vayir'u. Please pay attention how to translate that. Now they are not malachim anymore. Now they are anashim. They are human beings. And they, vayir'u, they were afraid. A big fear they had. Yir'a gdola. What was the yir'a gdola? We don't know, but it's quite shocking. It's quite unusual what they experienced. But later on, when he was thrown to the sea, and the sea was quiet, vayir'u ha'anashim yir'a gdola et Hashem. What a tshuva, by changing malachim to anashim, and yir'a gdola to yir'a gdola et Hashem, it's a full-blown story. They went through a religious experience. And look how beautiful chapter 1 distinguishes between the people on the boat at the beginning on the sea, Hashem hetil ruach gdola. And everybody was calling to Elohav, Elohav. And at the end, vayiru anashim yira gdola, ki yadu anashim ki limifnei Hashem uborach. Now they experience God. What did they go through? Elohim and their idolatry is Hashem of Yonah. Yonah brought them back by to tshuva. They survived, but he was in the sea. It shifted. It changed the role. He should have brought back others. Yes, he did it. Not in Nineveh, on the boat. And here we come to a fascinating observation in the text. When they said, before they throw him to the sea, they say, "Va'al titen aleinu dam naki, ki ata Hashem asher chafatzta asita." God, we don't want to throw this man in the sea. We cannot survive it ethically, morally. "Al titen aleinu dam naki." These were simple people working, seamen, right? Seamen. And they were praying to God because they were about to die. Velonoved, the same word as Nineveh. But they quote, look in what incredible Talmidei Chachamim they are. Al titen aleinu dam naki. Don't put blood on our hands of people who are innocent. They quote Sefer Dvarim. Parshat Egla Arufa in Dvarim chapter 21. Am Yisrael prays if somebody was found, a dead body was found. There is a whole mitzvah, and they have to say at the end, "Kaper l'amcha Yisrael asher padita Hashem, v'al titen dam naki bekerav amcha Yisrael." Al titen dam naki twice in the Bible. They know to quote Dvarim. Of course, what they said and quote, we don't know. Nobody was there with his mobile. But the biblical narration, the narrative is these people came to the level of Yirei Shamayim, Yirei Hashem. How beautiful. So Yonah thought others cannot make tshuva. Of course they could. And I want to draw your attention to one another very interesting observation. Chapter 1 and 2 have something in common. And I know there are too much colors and you get dizzy, but hopefully you can see that. And once you heard or read and identify the explanations, I hope the colors are helpful. Vayizbechu zevach la'Hashem vayidru nedarim. They brought a sacrifice. Vayidru nedarim. How do you say neder? Vow? Echo omrim?
Vow.
Vow.
Vow. Vow.
Vow. Oh, wow. Mistake. Vow. Sorry. Vayidru nedarim. What does Yonah say in the fish? He didn't hear what they say just when he was thrown in the sea. But what is his last line in the tefillah? Vani bekol toda ezbechalach asher nadarti ashalema yeshuat al Hashem. I promise to thank you loud. I will bring a korban sacrifice and I will make a vow to do it and to bring a Yeshua. There is an analogy between chapter 1 and 2. Once Yonah is not anymore on the sea, he is in the sea. He is in the fish. There is a parallel attitude of both Yonah, who accepts the tshuva, and the people on the boat. And that is a beautiful message. Is there an analogy between them? And here comes a very, very interesting comment. And I invite you to say at the end your opinion, what you think about it. Ibn Ezra brings a fascinating observation. What was the promise and the vow of the people of the seamen? What did they promise? They will learn the Fiyomi. What did they promise? So he said what they promised. They heard that Yonah is on his way to Nineveh, but he ran away from Nineveh because he didn't want to fulfill his shlichut. So what did they do? They fulfilled his mission. And he says something very, very interesting, that the people on the boat, afterwards, when they brought the sacrifice, what they did, they went to Nineveh. And they gave the message, and the prophecy, the mission of Yonah. And the people heard that. Okay, story, you can tell stories. And afterwards, Yonah appears in Nineveh, not very motivated to make changes in Nineveh, not at all. And he was very short. The whole fight with Hashem was about 5 words. Od 40 yom v'Nineveh nehefechet. He walks in, says 5 words, and goes out. According to this explanation by Ibn Ezra, wow effect. They were well prepared in Nineveh. There was a story. Somebody was in a storm. They're throwing to the water. And right afterwards, the storm is gone. And it was all about Nineveh. The name is Yonah. By the way, there is a place in Nineveh to the very day today, which is called the Kever of Yunis, of Yonah. So this tradition is there till to the very day today. I don't know exactly how it came through from the Bible. And now they see Yonah. He says 5 words. And why is he so short, Yonah? Because he's fed up. He doesn't want to go there. But what is the effect on the people of Nineveh when he comes in and says 5 words? It wasn't online. He didn't have a microphone to talk. He came in, says 5 words, and walks away. runs away. The shorter he is in his laconic shortness, the more powerful. He wanted to run away because he didn't like the shlichut, but for them it was the most powerful one to realize that is serious. So whether that is true, what Ibn Ezra, I'm not about to judge about Ibn Ezra, sorry, but whether Ibn Ezra really says what happened, I don't know. I'm not convinced, because it doesn't say that they brought the sacrifice and made a vow, and afterwards they went to Yonah. Instead of Yonah, to Nineveh. No, it doesn't say it. If that would be the story, I would have appreciated if they just say another five words, Vayelchu leNineveh. It doesn't say it. But I think whether it is true or not, it is the spirit. Everybody follows Yonah's shlichut. Just one person not. Yonah. He not. Why? We don't know yet. So these are the comments on chapter 1. And I want to continue on chapter 2. That was the commentary on chapter 1. The presentation will be online with some corrections afterwards. We talk about this, the text here. I will not say a lot here. We spoke already about the symbol of Yonah. This chapter sounds like a tefillah, not specifically a statement by Yonah. I apologize, Hashem, I shouldn't have run away. It is a tefillah. It actually has its analogies in Sefer Tehillim. We'll not talk now about Tehillim and analogies in other books, but it seems that he is praying, I call to you, I escaped, I want to come back. And you heard my voice, Shamata Bekoli, and my voice from in the midst of the fish should come back, and I will send Vani Bekol Toda, I want to thank you. He moves it from his tzara, from his distress, and at the end he wants to have a voice to thank Hashem. What exactly? We will not elaborate that now. It has a very beautiful, clear structure. He goes back to Yonah. Yonah goes back, sorry, with the same Zevach and Nedarim. And he comes to Nineveh. We spoke to Ibn Ezra. And here we have a short text. And right away it works. And look how beautiful it is. You have it again, the analogies of Yonah, of Nineveh, the king, and the citizens of Nineveh. Have a very clear analogy on Har Sinai. Not less than that. The biblical narration uses the same wording of Har Sinai. Har Sinai, it says, God, forgive them for the golden, for the Chet HaEgel, Vayinachem Hashem al hara asher diber la'asot la'amo. Exactly the same it says about Hashem and Nineveh. Vayinachem ha'elohim al hara'a asher diber la'asot lahem v'lo asa. Yes, Hashem to Am Yisrael and Elohim to another city where there is no personal connection. It says on Har Sinai afterwards in chapter 34 in Shmot, Gam ha'tzon v'habakar al yiru el mul ha'har ha'hu, the animals, the shepherd should not take his animals to eat there, al yiru. Exactly the same what Melech Nineveh told his citizens, Ha'adam v'ha'beima ha'bakar v'ha'atzon, al yitamu me'uma, al yiru umayim al yishtu. Why this analogy? Obviously, the narration of Sefer Yonah wants to tell us the people of Nineveh came to the religious experience, to a religious level of making tshuva, and had the same wording as Am Yisrael when they came to Har Sinai after Chet HaEgel. What is the message? The analogy is obvious. How we explain it, everybody has his own explanation, whether he wants to pay attention to this analogy, or he says, oh, it's just the same situation, it has no meaning. I believe it has a very strong meaning. It's created, as they say in Hebrew, déjà vu. Kach omrim beivrit, déjà vu. The experience in Nineveh is a Kabbalat Matan Torah Har Sinai. Is that serious? Look what they did. Vayaminu anshei Nineveh. They believed in Hashem. And you know what they said? And he told them that even his animals, they have to fast. What a religious behavior. Yesterday, they were the biggest sinners, and God wanted to destroy them. Yonah is there, says 5 days, and they right away ask all the behemoths and the bakal not to eat. They have to fast. The cow and the animals and the horses, they have all to be part of the fast day. Are you crazy? Is that the tshuva that you're at? That the whole zoo is fasting? It's a strange behavior. But God saw it, and they prayed, velo noved, exactly the same as the people in chapter 1 on the sea. God saw it and respected them. These people from Nineveh who are about to destroy Am Yisrael, what's happening here? Yonah afterwards, in chapter 4, has an interesting discussion. We don't really understand why. I read the text, yes, God has mercy, and Yonah, you didn't want to have mercy. And I'm asking Yonah, I don't understand Yonah. What's the problem? You have a wonderful job, and very prestigious, outstanding job. You are a prophet. Oh, you don't like this prophecy? You know what? Keep it short. Go to Nineveh. Say 5 words, and the deal is done. And hopefully you will get better jobs and better calls for the next prophecy, which you enjoy more. What's wrong, Yonah? Why do you run away? Oh, I knew that you, Hashem, you are El Rachum V'Chanun. Look at the beautiful wording here. Ki adati ki ta Hashem, ki adati ki ata El Rachum V'Chanun. Erech apayim v'raf chesed, he's quoting Yud Gimel Midot, which are part of our Slichot. Rav Chesed, but he is deleting one word, Emet. Abrabanel says, Yonah wanted to see the Emet, the truth. And his father's name is Amitai. Nice dosh. Yonah ben Amitai. And he wants to say the truth. The truth? No. Mercy, you have by far too much, by far more than I wanted. So he is quoting Shmot, but he leaves out the word emet. Why? Something is wrong with that. I want to draw your attention, and I counted it many times. Every time when I teach it to young students, I ask them to count the words. Look at the masterpiece of biblical poetry. Masterpiece. Yonah talks in his tefillah 39 words. Hashem answers him in a question. Hahitef harala? Do you think you're right to get that upset? 39 words. Hashem answers with a question. Yonah answers, Tov moti mechayai. My death is better than my life. My life is not worthy to be lived anymore. Yonah makaralcha. What's wrong about that? Go there, finish the job, and move on. And Hashem answers him, on the plant, 5 words of question. Yonah answers, 5 words in Yonah's answer. And look the beauty. Hashem answers him, I have mercy. You were regretting about the plant, the kikayon, where you had no contribution. Bin Laila Avad Velo Noved, like on the boat and on the in Nineveh, Velo Noved, and I should not have mercy over the big city. 39 words, a question. We don't know, I don't understand what really the message is for Yonah. I can understand the message of Hashem, Rachamav al Kol Ma'asav, a beautiful paper by Nechama Leibovich, Zichrona Livracham, Sefer Yonah, Rachamav al Kol Ma'asav. God has mercy. Yonah, you are that much, have that much a problem to run away? You cannot agree with Hashem to have mercy? And I will now explain why Yonah ran away. I don't understand for now why you have to jump to run away and kill your, commit suicide. And you say at the end you were saved. What a miraculous story that you were saved. And at the end, what you say is, Tov moti mechayai? Why are you so angry? I'm trying now, be careful. I'm trying to give an answer why you'll not run away. And I will tell you in 3 minutes, hopefully, I would have run away as well. But afterwards, I'm left with a very, very much bigger question. Once I understand you now, I will not understand Hashem. So if you have to leave, leave now. We don't understand you now because I want to explain Hashem's message as well. And here we come to the essence of Sefer Yonah. To look at the story at the end, which comes to some extent at the end, but not really the full. This beauty of 39:3355:39 means we have a dialogue. Yonah has a dialogue with Hashem. That's the end of the story. Whether we understand the message at that point in time to the end or not, we'll see in a moment. But the fact is, there is an open dialogue. At the beginning, you were running away. Instead of Nineveh to Tarshish, no success. Now he is in a full dialogue with Hashem. It is much more than you can't run away. It has a much deeper message. And that's what I want to explain you now. What is Nineveh? Why did he run away? So we explained, I have it here in English. Why did he run away? And the answers, you can see it here. Rachamav al kol ma'asav, what is pro, what is contra it? Yes, I understand that compassion with Nineveh is not really the place where you want to go. I would not be interested to go for a medical mission these days to Tehran. It's not my desire. I was very pleased that 5 months ago, I treat people online and send them to places for surgery and for oncology. And I had 5 months ago, just after the missiles from Iran, I had a patient from Tehran where I could help. And I thought about this shiur. They kill us and I can help. What is fault? What other reasons are? Oh, he was nervous to be a false prophet? No, you're not. What's wrong? Everybody knows that they made tshuva. If they make tshuva, you're not a false prophet. So these explanations of Abraham at the beginning that you cannot run away, I'm left with a question. I want to give you now the full answer. The book of Yonah is part of the book of the Bible. And that is not a shiur in Sefer Yonah, it's a shiur in the Bible. Biblical thinking, and we need to look at the entire Bible together. At the entire Sefer Tehillim, we looked at the entire book, that the answer is at the end of Yonah. And we will see miraculous insights, which I believe, if we don't understand the entire Tanakh, and we don't understand the kingdom of Assyria, we will not get the message. And here we find the meanings. So that is a diagram which I like to present. I will not elaborate it now. Chazal were very much aware that if you understand the entire Bible as a book of the Bible, Divrei Torah Smechim Keyom Netinotam Behar Sinai. If you put the different books together, there are beautiful insights in the complexity, in the harmony, in the interaction, the correspondence of different books. We see beautiful insights, and that's what the Midrash says, Keyom Netinotam Behar Sinai. Book of Yonah. Who was Yonah ben Amittai? He's mentioned one more time in the Bible. Very meaningful. Short. We don't pay too much attention there. What's Nineveh? The capital of Assyria. What do we know about Nineveh in the Bible? What do we know about Nineveh from history, the historical background, and their tshuva? And of course, it's part of the Trei Asar, the book of the 12. Is one book. Chazal call Sefer Yeshayahu, Sefer Yirmiyahu, Sefer Yechezkel. They do not call Sefer Hoshea, Sefer Yoel, v'chule. They call all the 12 Reasa. Halacha lemaaseh, if one writes the Tanakh, the Treasa are like one unit. The interval between book one book to the other is much shorter than between other books in the Torah, because it's one unit. The Treasa have a lot to say. So we know Sefer Yonah, we know him from Sefer Melachim. It says in Melachim 14, second part of second book of Melachim, it says that his servant Yonah Ben Amitai, Hanavi, from Gat Hefer, he tried to protect the borders of the land of Israel. That is in chapter 14. And in chapter 15, it says there that Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, came and he took several people to Chutz La'aretz, and he brought the exile of Mamlechet Israel to Assyria. Now we know who Yonah is. He wants to protect Eretz Israel, and there are these enemies who are trying to kill us. Now it gets a totally new message. I'm going to Assyria to save the people who are going to kill my nation. I better run away. I quit my job. I jump in the water. I don't want to be there. And if I have to be there, say five words and run away. Ba'al kocho. I understand you're not totally. I'm going to protect Assyria? No way. What do we know about Nineveh? It's mentioned in Breshit. It's mentioned in Sefer Melachim in another place. It's mentioned three times in Sefer Nachum. And there in Nachum is a terrible prophecy about Nineveh. God will destroy Nineveh and will bring a total destruction about this place because the cruelty and the atrocities of Nineveh, there is no excuse for them. And that is what we learn in Sefer Nahum from the beginning to the end, and in Tzfania as well. Vayasem et Nineveh lishmama. So Yonah could have done something very simple. Instead of running away, he could have told Hashem, oh Hashem, I don't get you. I think there is a contradiction in your behavior. On one hand, you say you will destroy in Sefer Nahum and Tzfania, Nineveh, and I should go there and encourage them to make tshuva, a stupid tshuva where the cows and the animals and the entire zoo are starting to daven and to make tshuva, and you accept that? Did I lose my mind? And that's a friendly expression to say to Hashem, what are you doing? You want to destroy them like in Nahum and in Tzfania? Or do you want to save them? If you want to save them, happy to go there. Not really happy. But why Nahum that you're going to destroy them? Odo yo, odo lo, what's your attitude? And here we come to a very fascinating text, which I will not elaborate now. These are the 12 books, the books of the 12. And I compared here Yoshea, Yoel, Amos, and it is fascinating. First of all, what we can find today with search system is a much better level, and there's a lot of research on the book. That would be a series of at least 12 lectures, actually much more, because some of them, Hoshea, is much bigger than just one lecture. But they talk together. And Chazal understood that the Treasar is one big, huge unit. Before the destruction, during the destruction, and after the destruction. And there is one attitude of Yonah, another one of Nahum, and they are very contradictory, but they have a logic. What I try to show you now is how do they talk together? In Sefer Yoel, it says to Am Yisrael, you should make tshuva. Kir'u levavchem ve'al bigdechem v'shuvu el Hashem Elokechem. Yoel calls Am Yisrael, and we actually read it in the Haftarah, in Shabbat Shuva, we add Yoel, and it says, Ki chanun v'rachum hu, erech apayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al hara'a. Mi yodea yashuv, the term mi yodea yashuv is in Yoel and in Yonah, chapter 3. The people of Nineveh say, oh, we make tshuva, mi yodea yashuv. There is an analogy between these two texts. And who says Chanun v'rachum erech apayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al hara'a exactly in this form without who? It's Yonah himself. So Yonah is quoting as a deja vu Yoel. Yoel calls Am Yisrael to make tshuva, and now Hashem, you send me to Nineveh, they should make tshuva. Yonah quotes Yoel. And the people in Nineveh, where it says, V'yashuvu ish midarko hara'a, this term is quoted only in Yirmiyahu. V'yashuvu ish midarko hara'a. Yirmiyahu 26 and Yirmiyahu 36. No other place. Am Yisrael should do the tshuva. So the subtext of Nineveh is, Am Yisrael should do tshuva the way they do it in Nineveh. But they don't. But they should. And Yonah is successful to bring Nineveh for tshuva, who are about to kill the Jewish people, and not his own nation. That's his tragedy. That is a good reason to run away. It's a good reason to say, I cannot deal with that. That makes amazing sense. So we have now one answer. Why you now run away? Why did Hashem ask Yonah to go to Nineveh? I will not repeat all the psukim. And here we learn about Nineveh, and that is the map of Nineveh. You see here Nebi Yunus, Navi Yonah, which is at the outer part of the city, and that's the Tigris. And it has a beautiful, that's the center, the very center, the best protected place. But the entire field is the city wall is well protected, and the geography and excavations are really fascinating. You can see everything online. And I actually have a short movie to show that and summarize here the archaeology and the story of that. But now we have to understand what is actually, that's the beauty of Nineveh. And I'm happy to show you the link here, where you can find online. What did Hashem think? On one hand, he says, Nahum, I will destroy Nineveh. And on the other hand, he sends Yonah out. Of course, how can Yonah deal with that? The prophet Yonah before the walls of Nineveh and Rembrandt showed his tragedy. How can he deal with that? And I think here we come to the real message of the book, the fall of Nineveh. Here, we come to the real message. He was not capable to bring Nineveh, who are going to destroy Am Yisrael, and bring them to make tshuva. He couldn't do that. That was totally against his personality, against his belief system. He protects Am Yisrael. He wants to protect the borders. And he sees Ashur attacking them. Why did Hashem send him? Hashem sent Nahum just for the destruction of Ashur. But Hashem, if I have now an explanation for Yonah, and I hope I could give you a very convincing context, historical and biblical context, Nineveh is the worst place. It is Berlin of 39. It is Tehran of 2023. These are the worst places of the world, murderers, bloodshedding, and crazy people. So we have analogies. That's the reason I wanted to talk about it these years. No shortage, unfortunately, to talk these days, not in only in my father's time in the Holocaust, about it. There are crazy people who are machrivei olam, destroying the place, taking hostages and killing babies. And Yonah should go and save them? Now we understand Yonah's behavior, I hope. And now we have a question. What was Hashem's message? And here, first of all, if I understand Yonah, I can understand the human behavior and human being, what his behavior was. Hashem, I don't really have to understand. I learn and I accept, or it's not my job to understand. But I actually think that there is a very, very powerful message. Even that Ashur needs to know, even that Am Yisrael was full of sins, And Yirmiyahu was saying exactly the words of Tshuva to Am Yisrael. And Yoel was quoting exactly the same words to Yerushalayim. And it didn't help. Nineveh hears exactly the same words that Yoel called Am Yisrael. Nineveh says exactly the same words to Nineveh. Whatever Yirmiyahu said before the Churban, Tachzachu b'tshuva, are the very same words which Yonah said in Nineveh. God gives a chance to everybody, Lachzor b'tshuva. The same way Am Yisrael by Yirmiyahu and Yoel had exactly the same invitation for tshuva, Nineveh has it as well. And they did it to some extent. Am Yisrael not enough. That was the tragedy of Yonah. But Hashem rachamav al kol ma'asav. I said at the beginning that the message of the book is rachem al kol ma'asav, according to the beautiful paper of Nachama Leibovich, and I come back, but not only from inside of the book. It is on a much broader level, because Nineveh is not just a city somewhere on this planet. It is the worst city. Hashem gives a chance to Nineveh, the same token he gave it to Yerushalayim. And we have all the commitment. And if Hashem tells Nahum that he will destroy them, yes, there is a time that God decides to destroy them, and Babylon destroyed them, and afterwards Babylon was destroyed by Koresh. God leads the world. But everybody has the chance of tshuva. Everybody can actually work together. We could, if we would do one nation, that's what we said in Mizmor Mem Zayin, Berosh Hashanah. And that is, in my opinion, the main message. Now we understand the Mishnah, that we learn on the Ta'anit what happened in Nineveh, Bayar Elohim et Ma'asehem, Kishavu Midarkam Hara'a, quoting Yonah. And we say in the right away the same word, Mishnah. In the prophet it says, V'kiru levavchem v'al bigdechem. What they did successfully, we could do. What we should do, they could do. We can both make tshuva. We could be a world where there will be no enemies, and we could do all the same way tshuva to Hashem. And look how mankind failed. We in Yerushalayim, and there was a churban by Ashur, and the nations. That is the message of Sefer Yonah. Whatever Hashem does for reasons, for many reasons, the overall plan is you do not want to punish. You want to, that people should be better and should live together and work together. And that is a very powerful message which I wanted to share with you. And I'm almost in time. Sorry for the taking too much time. That was the message I wanted to say. Might be more relevant for this year than in many other situations when we have seen so much murder and atrocities, like in the Holocaust and again. And we have to kill, and our people were killed. But I think the message is, Ki lo tachpots b'met hara, God wants everybody, and Yonah should go out. Tough message. But that's what Hashem is. I understand Hashem that he ran away. I very much understand that he was not in peace with this shlichot. But the message of Hashem is, Rachamav al kol ma'asav. Halavai, we should have a time that we could sit together with those nations, with all nations, and those who need to be killed. There are a lot, Yadber Amim Tachteinu, Ulaumim Tachat Ragleinu, but there are many good nations, many good people from other nations, that we should do Aguda Achat La'ovdecha Belevav Shalem. In Aleinu, we say, Lafnot Elecha Kol Rishei Aretz. The message is quite powerful, that our job is to be all Aguim, like Yonah, very painful to go there, but that's what Hashem really wants, that everybody should be, should come to this point. I hope I made my point clear. And if I was convincing, I'm happy. And if not, I'm happy to hear questions and other opinions.
Thank you, Rav Benny. Thank you so much. And yes, your message is very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was wonderful.
Sandra, I think, would like to say a word.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Rav Benny. Can I ask a question? Is there an analogy that you just perhaps didn't have the time to fit in into this wonderfully packed lecture about Avraham asking for Rachamim al Sodom, and doing it, he and God in this dialogue that you referred to with Yonah finally and God, and he did it. Is it because God didn't? Is the difference that God didn't send Avraham into Sodom? Does that give him more objectivity so that he could pray for Sodom? Is that the difference between Yonah and Avraham?
Very interesting point. Yonah had to go to bring people back to tshuva.
That's it.
And Hashem was told by Avraham, that is Jewish chutzpah. Avraham says to Hashem, God forbid people there. Chalila lecha. So this feeling of justice of Avraham, who is the father of all the nations, the Midrash says that Hashem came to Avraham because he actually wanted to hear.
Yes. Yes. That's what Rabbi Silber, my teacher at Drisha, had told us. He said, look, God invited, essentially, sub silencio. He invited Avraham to argue with him. But I was always, you brought this out right now, and I'm reeling from it, is the difference between Avraham arguing so passionately and eternally, what he said, 50, 40, 30, nothing, and to the difference between him and Yonah, who was existentially reeling himself, saying, you want me to go to Berlin in 1939? No way. Is it because Avraham did not have to go? His brother, nephew, went, but he did not go.
Yes, it might be. That is one difference. But it's also that Sodom and Gomorrah, whatever they did, terrible behavior, that's in the city. And Avraham lives outside.
Mm.
Avraham is praying. Mm-hmm. In there is attacking Am Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
It's a direct threat.
Okay.
A life-threatening condition for Am Yisrael.
Yes. Yep.
And therefore it is a confrontation, yep, which is not, there is no bridge for such a country. There is no reconciliation for that.
One follow up, and then we go. But and
go
yet,
ahead, go
in
ahead.
Chapter 13 in Bereishit, when they're looking down, and Avraham says to Lot, okay, pick wherever you want to go. And he looks and he sees Sodom, Kegan Elohim, Eretz Mitzrayim. So that he is seeing that he's got to see that it's a threat existentially to Avraham and their way of life. And yet he turns his body and goes down there. So that's why I say I think the existential threat was obvious, and I think it was there because the narrator of the Bible tells us it was there. It wasn't only that it was gorgeous and lush, Kagan and Elohim. It was Mitzrayim, guys. No blinders on your eyes.
Nice.
Mitzrayim.
Yes, very nice. If you say Kagan Elohim, actually, I think the Bible, Benno Jakob says that, the big scholar, the Jewish scholar. He says Kagan Elohim, and he says, look at that, how Sodom is deteriorated to misfavor. But actually, Avraham says, it could be a paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Our world could be a paradise. But well, look what they did out of it. That's the reason he says, Kegan Elohim.
Mm.
It could be a paradise. And that's exactly the message.
Mm-hmm.
I want to point out, since you mentioned Sodom, a beautiful explanation by the Ibn Ezra. He says, Avraham was negotiating as a real Jew, 50, 45, 40. But he says, "Ulai yesh b'Sodom 50 tzaddikim betoch ha'ir." Might be there are in Sodom 50 righteous in the city. That doesn't sound good Hebrew. If there are in Sodom, there are in the city. And if there are in the city 50 people, they are in Sodom. So Ibn Ezra makes a wonderful, wonderful observation, which is very, very meaningful, I think. We need 50 tzaddikim not those who are just for themselves, Mashinikal of Yiddish, a tzaddik in pelz, that you sit in your own place and you think about yourself and you pray all day and learn all day just for yourself. Hashem wanted, Abraham wanted Hashem to take, to save the entire city because there are 50 tzaddikim who are strongly involved in the society, in the charity of the place. That is Ulayesh Bisdom Hamishim Tzadikim Betochair. We need people who are involved. And that is our message, that we should be not only for ourselves, we should be for others, and there's so much good things to do in these terrible days that we need to save the world. And there's, I want to finish with a beautiful explanation by the Kotzke Rebbe. He asked, why do we have 36 tzaddikim in every generation? In our generation, we need a few millions. With 36, that's too small as a group. And he has a masterful explanation. In the big Beit Din, in the big fort of Jerusalem, there were 70 skenim, dayanim. The Bible, it says, the 70 elders. So what happens if there is an opinion and there is no agreement? There are two opinions and no agreement. So we are left with 35 and 35. It's equal. So the Mishnah says that Moshe imahem. Moshe Rabbeinu was part of it. Which number is Moshe if there is 35 against 35? He is number 36.
Mm.
So the Kotzke Rebbe has a masterful explanation, masterpiece of Hasidic teaching and of ethical messages. Everybody has to understand that he can make the decision. He can be number 36. Whether we are 36 or a few millions, or I don't know what the number is, it's not a numerical description. It is the role of a tzaddik. I know I make a decision. I'm number 36. When it's equal, I make a decision and I want to make an impact.
You can be the tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker. That was the term I was looking for. That is a beautiful message of Olam HaChassidut. It's the concept of responsibility.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your participation. We should have Shana Tova. Any other questions? Susan?
I got 1 second. No, I see it. Thank you very much. And Gmar Chatzima Tova. I don't see any other questions.
Thank you.
Bsorot tovot. Thank you very much.
Toda rabah.
The online presentation will be ready, I hope, tomorrow. If you want to download and have all the sources there, you're welcome to write comments and corrections, whatever, and any wishes. Shana tova, gemar chatima tova.
Gemar chatima tova. Here's the link to the website. I'm putting it in the chat if anybody wants it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Those who read Hebrew. Mm-hmm.